Gotcha. All right, good. Thank you, brother. All right, so I've all the choir. Come on up, get the choir off. We'll start the service in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, let's do it right after it so that that'll be out of the way. And then,
after
the offering, yeah.
Our every testimony. If that's your testimony, say amen. 431. 431 in your hymnals. Your hymnals are in front of you for the visitors, except the front row. Save, save. Let's stand. 431. Everybody sing your best this morning. Here we go. Sing together now. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is forever true. I love his path, how he lives as me. And why? Just for practice, here's the real deal. Now when we get to that chorus, put your books down and sing out. All right, here we go. When poor and weak and all alone, His love is dead to me. Come on.
Right here, Brother Tim, we're going to sing that last verse again. Are you glad you're saved? Say amen. Is there anything better in the world than being saved? Nothing. It's better than being rich. It's better than being famous. It's better than being important. Praise God. It's just better than anything. And I'm glad that whosoever will may come. That's the best part of it all, is if you're not saved, you can be, and you don't have to meet any criteria of this church or any other church. All you got to do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? I'm glad I'm saved. We're going to sing that last verse again, and then we get that chorus. Boy, I want you to sing like you're really saved. Amen? Come on, let's sing it together. say, we just had church already, didn't we? And you know, Martha's been saving up for a while. Martha's been out for a couple of months, and boy, she's been saving up them shouting over there. I'm telling you, I saw Claudette jump about 4 feet. Yes, sir. Praise. Isn't it good to be in where you can praise the Lord? Amen. Amen, Miss Martha. You just help yourself. Praise God. Isn't it good to be saved? Hallelujah. You can be broke down. You can be broke. I mean, you can be a lot of things, but man, it's good to be saved. None of that matters if you're saved. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Well, we're going to pray. Let the choir sing another number. And so let's bow our heads together. When we're through praying, you and the audience can be seated. And then the choir will sing another song. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, we love you today, and what a blessing it is to be saved. Lord, I don't know of anything I'd rather be. I mean, I'm thankful for what I am. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved because of that grace and that mercy and that love that was extended at Calvary through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's good to have a church full of folks that are wanting to worship today. God, we're not here to see what each other's wearing or what our hair looks like. We're here to worship God today. This is the Lord's Day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, bless the choirs as they sing, the special music, the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, all that's done here today for Thy glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The choir will sing on the song.
All right, in keeping with yesterday's theme for the Ladies' Jubilee, this isn't a high-octane song like the other one was, but I want you to listen to the words, listen to the message of Jesus led me all the way. In song. Well, we're going to give you a chance to stand for a minute. We're going to shake hands. We've got a lot of visitors. We'll meet them in just a few minutes. So let's stand. We'll have a time of fellowship and let the choir come down.
Just sing it, choir.
Come on. Oh, we're doing better.
Thank you, choir, for the good singing this morning. And if you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service today. And again, we're so glad to have you here. Glad to have many visitors with us today. Some were here for the ladies' meeting yesterday, and some are here today. And we're thankful for you being here. And good to have the Asingua family back. And he works for Publix. Do you manage the store? One of the managers at Publix, and he's moving to this one here at Two Notch. Whichever way that is from here. And so they're going to move into this area, so off of Hardscrabble. So we're glad to have them here with us again. They visited a couple of weeks ago. Then let's see. Glad to have Miss Hooker and Miss Ward here. Haven't seen them in so long, and they're friends of our church. Miss Ward is living in Florida, and when she comes up to visit, they come to visit us. And then found out that Sister Sabrina had a stroke. How long ago was that, Sister? In November, so she's doing really good considering. And we love these ladies. And I saw them come in, and so good to have them again. Haven't seen them in quite some time. First time here in this building, and so we're sure glad to have them with us. And Miss Cummings, good to have Miss Cummings back. And then she brought her sister, Miss Young, and they live right here in the area, and we're so glad to have them here with us as well. And then, of course, there's Miss Wasp. For those of you who don't know, this is Brenda's mother. And then Barbara on this side is her sister. And you know the boys, Enoch and... And then Brother Andrew's wife, let me make sure I got it right. Sarah, is that right? Sarah McAfee. They have a big deal at their church, a big picnic today. And I guess they couldn't get back, or I don't know, just tell Andrew I didn't have nothing to do with you all staying here, okay? I don't want a pastor mad at me. No, we're glad to have you. And then Emily, is that right? Emily, this is one of the members of the church, and she's expecting a child, I believe. Is that right? So when is the baby due? In July. I hope it's the 30th. That's a good day to be born on. Amen. That's right. That we always remember my birthday, you see. All right. So we're glad to have all of these folks here with us. Let me look around, make sure I have met. Oh, of course, got all the folks from Monroe. And I was just talking to Brother Bobby the other day. He talked about how a lot of times people will be missing out of his service. And now they're all here. So but I understand. I talked to him last week, and he told me about falling and getting that mild concussion. and that he couldn't, you know, really talk on the phone. Just a lot of things he can't do for a week or so. So I'm not even going to call him and tell him you were here. I'll let him rest. But Jamathan Howard and his wife Madison and their children, and then Maisie and Sandro and Steele. Bones and disease. Sandro, Isaiah, what's a good day? I was waiting for one of them to catch up on it, but Buenos dias, Sandro. ¿Cómo está? That's all I know. We love Maisie and Sandro, our missionaries in Peru. And Maisie was one of the speakers at the ladies' meeting yesterday and did such a wonderful job. Maisie was saved in one of our jubilees, and now she's on the mission field with her husband, and they just had Steele. He is how old? A couple months? Not 3, 2 months old. And what a blessing that is to have these folks here. They spent the night with, of course, Madison and Maisie, our sisters. And Judy taught, did you teach both of them in sixth grade? And then I had Madison in high school. And never had the opportunity to teach Maisie. They got rid of me before she got old enough for me to have her. But anyway, we're so glad to have all you folks here with us today. A couple of prayer requests I want to mention real quickly. That Miss Dot England, she's got surgery next week, right on the 7th. Is that Tuesday or what? Is it Tuesday or Thursday? And so pray for Miss Dot. And then Sonny Branham has surgery on the 13th, which will be the next week. And, of course, they're going to do some neck surgery to try to relieve some of that pressure and get some of that pain relieved. Brother Steve Morris will be having surgery on the 19th out in Arizona. Remember him. Good to see Miss Ramona. Where'd she get to? There she is. Miss Ramona fell at home a few weeks ago, really bruised her hip really deeply. And no broken bones, but up until the Thursday, I think it was when I talked to her last, she was really just hurting, but the Lord was good to her. She's able to be in church today. And we're glad to have Miss Ramona back with us. Continue to pray for her. And then Miss Leslie's grandsons, they're both doing okay. Noah and Joey, I told you Wednesday night or last week, they were in an accident. And Noah broke his ankle? His elbow. His elbow, that's right. Broke his elbow. And then little brother Joey got some road rash, and they got bumped up pretty bad. But both of them, I guess, all concerned. There were a couple other fellows with them that they were riding in this golf cart that got hit. And so everybody seems to be doing okay. And so I hadn't seen Noah for a few years. And, boy, he grew up. I'm telling you, I didn't hardly recognize until when he talked. I recognized his voice. But I'm telling you, he's really grown up. He's, what, 14 now? 14 years old. And so you pray for them if you would, okay? All right. And one other thing I'm going to mention, I'll have Brian come up and give the rest of the announcements, but I'll mention this while I'm thinking about it. After we were sort of planning to have a fellowship tonight because we got stuff left over from the Jubilee, Chick-fil-A sandwiches and all that. Well, the problem is of course, we're kind of limited on space, and we don't have the means by which to warm this stuff up, and there's a lot of it. So here's what we're going to do instead. After the service, at the front door, out there in the vestibule, that stuff will be out there, and you can get some as you go. Now, it'll be handed out. It's not just, you know, catch as catch can. We don't want somebody walking out, you know, like that. But we've got plenty of sandwiches left. If you like Chick-fil-A, they've been refrigerated, so they're okay. And if you get them home, you can have them for whatever you want to do. And we'll make sure that if you want some, you can have some. All right. We've got plenty left. So just keep that in mind. It'll be going out that door, the front door, as you leave after the service today. Okay. All right. That's all I got. Come on, Brian.
Richard, are you allowed to serve Chick-fil-A on Sunday? I didn't know.
Yeah, that's right. They're closed on Sunday.
I didn't know if that was in the Bible or not.
But, yeah, thou shalt not Chick-fil-A on Sunday.
That'd be good. First time ever on Sunday.
Them,
oh, okay. But we got a fairly light schedule this week. Might not remember. We'll have service at the Waterford. I'm sorry, I'm stuttering a little bit. We have service at the Waterford this coming Thursday. It'll be the first Thursday of the month. So that'll be at 7 o'clock at the Waterford Thursday, the 7th of June. That's coming up in a few days. So you that are normally involved, and those who haven't been involved in the past. If you need to know where the Waterford is or what any details about that service, see my dad or the pastor, and they'll fill you in, and they'll enjoy having you down at the Waterford this week. Nothing this weekend except, of course, for services, of course, next Sunday. The next Sewing Saturday will be 2 weeks from yesterday, so that will be the 16th of June for you men. So just kind of keep that in mind. But we'll have choir practice today at 4:30. I think one of our main focuses over the next 2 weeks will be getting the patriotic stuff together for our patriotic service at the beginning of July. So all you choir members need to be here at 4:30 to go over the songs, and of course the service at 5:30. Look forward to seeing you back in the Lord's house tonight.
Thank you, Brian. And let me say, yesterday was great. Now, it was hot, but you know, we do live in Colombia. You know, it's the hottest place on earth, I think, besides the Sahara Desert. But it was warm, but we had, how many did we wind up having yesterday? 179 was the count, and so it might have been a few more. But anyway, had a church full, had a lot, and had a great time. The ladies enjoyed it. So many new folks came by me yesterday. Many of the ladies were just weeping as they shook my hand and said, "We've never been to anything like this before, and this so helped me." And that's what it's all about. We just want to try to help folks, man. And so Maisie and then Ginger Cowick and Beverly Griffin, all ladies from Tabernacle, were here, did a wonderful job, and we had a great time. And so now it's behind us. And men, you did a wonderful job. I've never seen a crowd clean up faster than this crowd could clean up. I'm telling you, I don't know what time everything sort of ended about, maybe right at 3:30. By 10 minutes after 4, everybody was going home. I'm telling you, we had a lot of stuff out here, but the men worked extremely hard, and of course, it was extremely hot, but I appreciate you doing that. We're going to try to schedule maybe a little earlier in the year. We always make adjustments based upon Mother's Day and all. There's all kinds of things going on that we don't want to interfere with. But anyway, so we'll do that next year. So it'll be hopefully be a little earlier in the year where the temperature might not be quite such a problem. But we did have a great time, and men did such a good job. My brother was here for the first time yesterday and out here working, kicking in, and since he's been saved. And that's been wonderful, too, to have him down here with us as well. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Maisie and Sandro have a little video presentation they want to show this morning. And Maisie taught the ladies' Sunday school class this morning. But we're going to go ahead and take care of the offering now. So come on, ushers, we'll do that now. And then as soon as the offering is taken, then we'll show this little video. And then we'll have our special, okay? All right, brethren. Good. Okay. All right, let's pray together. Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's made their way out here today. Many are visiting, and they took time out of their schedule to be here with us, and we're so thankful for that. God, we pray that whatever happens here today will bring honor and glory to your name most of all. But then, Lord, as always, when we meet at Anchor Baptist Church, it is to be a help to someone. Whether they need to be saved or get right with the Lord, maybe they're carrying a burden, just looking for a place to worship with their family. Then, Lord, may the doors of Anchor Baptist Church always be open, and may the hand of friendship be always extended to those who come and visit with us. Now we ask you to bless the offering, the gift, and the giver, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. But Maisie, is this got audio with it too? Okay, I thought somebody said you were going to be sort of commenting on this, but I guess not. It's on there already. Okay. If we can get, Brother Ed, if you get those lights back there for me, please. And Steve, if you'll get that light right there beside you.
Thank you, Brother. This is Teresa from our special needs orphanage. She was abandoned by her own family. She is mentally challenged. She is very fragile. She is unable to speak. As you can see, God gave her a never-ending smile and a love for everyone she meets. Teresa had kidney failure. She was in and out of the hospital this past year. God is using Teresa in a mighty way. Our family ministry visits the hospital now 4 evenings a week for the past year. We share love in the gospel of Jesus Christ. His digestive organs have not developed properly. I held him right after losing my first baby. I remember telling God, I would gladly love a child like this.
Teresa, we met Fabian and Fabiana. Fabian is a water baby with an enlarged head. 15-year-old Cesar watches the twins while his mother works and keeps her other kids.
In the bed next to Teresa, we met 22-year-old Paola. She served in the Peruvian military. She made some really bad choices, fell into a dark depression, and ate rat poison. God spared her life. She is now a nonverbal quadriplegic. We love her now as family, and after almost 6 months, we helped bring her home. She lives with her single mom in a one-bedroom apartment. We provide weekly therapy, daily love, and prayer.
Hector in the same room with Teresa. His mother Martina was very sick. God took her home. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love Nestor like family.
Angel was born into drug addiction and abandoned when his mother went to prison. We took him into our family. Angel was a mentally challenged, quadriplegic, mute, and is now a child of the King. God made him perfect.
We spent many evenings with Michael while his single mom worked. He had terminal cancer. He had so many questions about our Lord. We shared the gospel. Michael accepted Christ as his personal Savior. God took Michael home.
We ought to be thanking the Lord every day for His goodness to us. I appreciate Sandro. Was that Sandro part of that narration? Your English is much better. That's great. But in fact, it just got me sort of weepy. I heard him speaking English and talking about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, those are the kind of missionaries we support here, the kind that are on the field trying to do something for God. I appreciate Sandro. He's my son in the faith. I love Sandro. I wish I could speak his language so I could really tell him some things, but that's all right. We get along just fine. Maisie, of course, what a precious young and Dave, the man that's in the video is Maisie and Addison's father, and he married a lady from Peru. Is that right? Or is she Peruvian? From Colombia, and so now they're down there also helping work with the mission down there, and so we're so grateful for that. And they put our name up there all the time, and they really should. We don't have anything to do with that, other than just help them out and pray for them. But they're the ones out there doing the work. They're on the battlefield, and I appreciate it. We love these folks, and I hope if you haven't met them before you leave, you'll take the time to meet them. And Little Steele, at the end of the service, they're when are you all going back to Peru? At the end of June. And, of course, he was born here, but he's going back to the mission field. And as you can see, they deal with a lot of poverty. And so, raising a family in that atmosphere is not easy. So they've asked us at the end of the service that they bring Steele to the altar. And we dedicate him and ask God to help him down there here at our altar. So we're going to do that at the end of the service. Okay? All right. Let's have a special.
All right. Well, before Pastor comes with the message of the day, The Anchor Trio is coming to sing for us.
Look what God has done for you. See what He has brought you through. He's done what no other can do. Look what God has done for you.
When you were hungry, He sent manna from above. When you needed shelter, He covered you with His love. Strong and mighty power, you can always run to.
Look what God has done for you.
Just
look what God has done for you. See what He has brought you through. He's done what no other can do.
Just
look what God has done for you.
When you were in trouble, He was your dearest friend. When you needed someone, He was there until the end. Trials after blessings, He's been faithful and true.
Just look what God has done for you.
Just
look what God has done for you.
And
see what He has brought you through. He's done what no other other can do. Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. And see what He has brought you through. He's done what no other can do. Look what God has done for you.
All right, thank you, trio. Well, get your Bibles out and listen now as the pastor comes.
All right, let's turn our Bibles this morning to Titus, the book of Titus, chapter number 3, the book of Titus. Chapter number 3, by the way, good to see Gail here. Gail had to have some blood this week, and she's looking much better. Steve's glad to have her home, right, Brother Steve? Look good, Miss Gail. Just remember I said that now, okay? All right. No, we're glad you're able to be back. She wasn't able to come to the Jubilee. They had to keep her overnight to do some of what they did for her to give her blood. So we're glad that she's able to be back. And then Reggie, I forgot to mention old Reggie. Reggie Sabin's here with us today. Reggie's in the area here. He's been visiting with us a time or two. We're glad to have him as well. Titus chapter number 3, it's page number 1284. If you have a Schofield Bible. Now, you know that Titus and the two books of Timothy are what are called pastoral epistles. Titus and Timothy, two preacher boys that Paul loved. And so he wrote two letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy, of course, and then here the book of Titus. And not only is he giving these preacher boys, these young preachers, some good, sound, spiritual advice, but also in so doing, as the Word of God is, whenever God deals with a person in Scripture, it goes beyond just that individual. It's the application that all of us can apply, that we can use. So it's not just for Noah and the Ark, it's for all of us to get saved, amen? And so that is the application, but this epistle of Titus really deals with the office and work of a pastor. Now you say, well, what are you preaching that to us for? We're not pastors. Well, I am. But what I want you to see here is not pastoral advice, but it's Christian advice. It's living advice. And so let's look at verse number 8. Let's stand to our feet, please, in reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read one verse number 8. The Bible said, Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, notice, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Father, bless the word of God to our hearts. Speak to someone here who needs the message in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and I want to preach for just a few minutes because we've got some, want to get around the altar here in a little while with a little steel. But I want to preach on this thought, three things that Christians must constantly affirm. Three things that Christians, now we know this is a pastoral epistle, so if I was preaching this in a preacher's conference, then I would say three things that preachers must confirm or affirm constantly. But because this is an application to all of us, I include us all. Three things that Christians must constantly affirm. Now, the text here in verse number 8 is one of several in the New Testament. Three besides this one, that use that phrase, this is a faithful saying. So hold your place for a moment. Let me show these two. Turn over to 1 Timothy. The other three are in the two epistles to Timothy, the other pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, it's just the next book before Titus, or two books, but just a few pages. 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice in verse number 15, the Bible said, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We sang this morning, saved by the power divine, saved to new life sublime. I mean, isn't it good to be saved? And the Bible said that being saved, and this verse says it is a faithful saying, that Jesus came to save sinners. Aren't you glad for that today? We couldn't sing that song if we didn't know Christ. If Jesus had not have been faithful. And that's why I preach faithfulness. Jesus was faithful. Here the Bible says that He's faithful to save. And I'm glad for that. If you're not saved here today, you do not have to impress the Lord. All you have to do is be impressed by the Holy Ghost that you're a sinner and trust Him as your Savior, and He'll be faithful to save you. Now look in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Notice the Bible said, "For bodily..." This is one of my favorite verses. No. "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Didn't say it didn't profit at all. So, you know, I have to get past that part. "But godliness is profitable unto all things." Everything in your life can be affected by godliness. You can exercise and your clothes will fit better. And someone will remark about, you know, how good you look. You know, you ever notice someone who's very large will lose 100 pounds? That's great. And then someone will meet you on the street and say, "Man, you look great. How much have you lost?" They say, "100 pounds." I say, "You know, we can really tell it in your face. How big was my head? If I lost 100 pounds, that's the only place you can tell the difference." Never notice when you're losing weight, it's always in your wrists and your ankles. But godliness is profitable for everything. And then notice what it says. Having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Once again, it's worthy to accept. It's a faithful saying. We saw He's faithful to save. Here we find that Jesus is faithful to sanctify. Set us apart to serve the Lord. Good works are the result of your salvation, not the other way around. Then turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse number 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." And that is a promise that God's given for our future. And we live, we exist, we survive on the promise of a better life and a better eternity. And so here we find that God is faithful, Jesus is faithful to support us. He saves us, He sanctifies us, and He supports us. Can I say that is a faithful saying? That God has never done less than those things for you and I that are saved. So now go back to Titus and let me give you these three thoughts quickly. Now, the word affirm, A-F-F-I-R-M, affirm, means to make firm, to assert strongly, or to uphold. Now remember, it's a pastoral epistle, and so Paul is encouraging Titus and Timothy to preach, affirm the gospel. But the last part of that definition says to uphold can be done by everyone. Everyone can't be a preacher, but everyone can affirm God's word in their lives. We can all uphold the standard that God has set for us after. Always remember that God did not set the standard to get us saved. He set the standard to live after we get saved. Because in Titus, in our text, or in that chapter, look at verse 5. Notice what the Bible said back in Titus chapter 3. Not, somebody, what does not mean? Not. It's the same in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin. It means not, don't. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. And although it's not written here, I say the next phrase can be called a faithful saying. But according to His mercy, He saved us. We did not save ourselves. Anchor Baptist Church doesn't save anybody. But we introduce and offer the Lord Jesus Christ, who can, who will, and who does save sinners. And so the word constantly, we talk about affirming, holding, and being strong. The The word constantly means continuously, persistently. Then the last part of the definition says all the time. So constantly is not a once in a while constantly. The word consistent can also be added here, but it's to be done. How many days of the year are you saved? 52 Sundays? Every day. 24/7. And if we're saved all the time, then should not we constantly and consistently affirm, uphold, and present the gospel of Christ and the life of Jesus in us? Sure. And so I want to, and of course in verse 8 that we read, it said these things are good and profitable. So let me give you these three thoughts real quickly in the few minutes we have. Number one, it's a good way to live. To affirm consistently and constantly the life of Christ in your life as a Christian. Now, you can't do this if you're lost. You can try. You can make an effort. But it's never going to be satisfying. And by the way, it will not get you to heaven. Many, many people in churches all over the world live as they believe the right way is, but without Christ, it's not going to help. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Folks, we got to confirm that. We've got to uphold that every day. No matter what day it is, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're going to miss it. All you have to do is trust in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. When you stand before the Lord at the great white throne of judgment, if you're not saved, He's not going to ask you if you knew Him. They're going to want to know if you had Him. Jesus will say, I never knew you. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen? That's right. So it is a good, go back to the verse, our text, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Now notice, the first one, a good way to live, because look what it says. It says that they which have believed in God. Now let me clarify that for just a moment. Believing in God does not get you to heaven. Because the Bible said in the book of James, if you believe in God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. I promise you, Satan himself believes in God. God made him. He used to be God's servant until he got that prideful heart and God put him out. Well, you know, preacher, I believe in God. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not enough. There's got to be something attached to that. See, believing in God and living right, again, I'll say it often, is the result of your being saved, not what gets you to a place of salvation. And so it's a good way to live. You're known by what you believe. What Paul said, I know in whom I believe. Do you ever have any trouble reading Paul's letters and not knowing what he believed? Now, you may not believe it, but he did. And always stuck with it. He never changed his tune. And so you're known by what you believe. Your actions are the product of your belief. What you believe produces how you live. If you believe in the gospel and then believe in the sanctification of the gospel and the separation of the gospel and holiness and holy living, if you believe those things, you have to be saved to produce them. Because believing in it's not going to produce it in your life. It just means you have some knowledge. But whenever you get born again, God, through the Holy Ghost, produces those things. Those things grow. It's just like having a field and a farmer standing there saying, I'd sure like for there to be corn in this field. It's not going to be there unless he goes out there and puts it in the ground. Wanting something. You can ask anybody driving by this church, unless they're just really out there. Ask them, would you like to go to heaven when you die? Why, yes. Who doesn't? The problem is wanting to go and getting there is two different things. You got to trust Christ as your Savior. But for us that are saved, it's a good way to live. We're saved by faith, as we all know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Then we live by faith. We live by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. But notice, the just, that's saved folks, live by faith. Lost people can't live by faith. They live by, I hope so. Live by karma. They live by, you know, some cosmic whatever. Because there's so much of that out there, and it really, it's almost like you got to have it all just to even touch the hem of the garment to what we have. And all we have is faith in Jesus Christ. But the just shall live by faith. It says there, they which have believed. They have believed. What will you do? What would you do? What do you do if your family turns against you? I'll tell you, believe God. What would you do if your friends turn against you? Believe in God. What would you do, listen, if your church turned against you? You believe in God. Amen? What would you do when you're dying? Just believe in God. Believe God if you're saved. Don't spend too much time trying to replace stuff in our life. And we try to put it in here and somehow our faith will like cover. It's like putting chocolate on peanuts. You know, you get some people can have, but I like it that way myself. But you know, you buy a chocolate bar and you think it's just going to be smooth and creamy, and you bite in that thing. And man, if you're not prepared, you'll break a tooth. Now the package says peanuts covered in chocolate. Now hopefully you've got enough education to read that. But you know what some people do? They'll bite into it, break a tooth, and sue the candy company for not warning them in advance. Or they'll sue McDonald's because the coffee's hot. Now, when I was growing up, we never even heard of cold coffee. I don't drink coffee myself, but my parents did. I never saw them ice their coffee. Now it looks like a milkshake. They put all kinds of stuff in, and I still don't like. My wife tries. Oh, try it. Men's got caramel in it, and chocolate, and mocha, and whipped cream, and peanuts, and cherry on top. Boy, it looks good, but I'm sorry, but you know what it still tastes like to me? Coffee. Now, if I could scrape all the good out of the coffee and leave the coffee, well, that'd be different. I'd probably buy one. The point is you cannot cover, listen, you cannot cover your character with the chocolate of a good life. Because once you get through the chocolate, you're going to find out what's really in there. And so for us that are saved, if we're going to live right and have the right kind of attitudes and the right kind of morals and the right kind of standards and convictions that are biblically based, then it's got to start by being saved and then realizing that salvation and living for God's a good way to live. It's the best way to live. There's not a better way to live than that. But then notice in our verse, number 2, it says, be careful to maintain good works. Well, here we find it's a good work to maintain. First, it was a good way to live. Oh, it's a good work to maintain. What is the word maintenance? It means to take care of. Good works are to be maintained. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3 of our text. Put them in mind. Now, this is Paul's exhortation to the preacher, Titus, to remind the people. We just studied this in Romans, you remember, about being in subjection to those in authority. Notice what he said. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to what? Every good work. Again, not because you want to be saved, but because you are. And so we need to maintain. Good works are to be maintained. What's the requirement of maintenance? Without maintenance, everything will fall apart. Trust me, if you don't maintain it. Somebody said, you know, you see something on TV that says, man, for 3 payments of $39.95, you can buy the Whopper Chopper. And it's maintenance free. Don't believe it. It's like the best things in life are free. Don't believe that either. But maintenance free is a misnomer. Because, listen, you can build a brand new house. I mean, everything in it, brand spanking new, and never live in it. And just leave it to sit. It's not going to look like that 50 years from now. You say, well, we've never touched it. That's not the point. The point is in the very law of nature that God created. In fact, I looked it up because Brian might know this stuff, but I had to look this up myself. I had to go to that primary source, Brother Steve. And it is called the law of, and I guess I'm saying this right, entropy. Is that right? Some people are saying yes, like they know what they're praise God, I'm glad. They asked me, I said, looks all right to me. And it's the second law of thermodynamics, and here is what it means. Ready? Everything is constantly becoming more random and disorderly. Well, you know, we just went boom, and here's everything, and it's getting better. No, it's not. The very law of thermodynamics of entropy says it's just going to break down and keep getting worse. That's why maintenance is important. Go out, buy a brand new car, park it in your garage, and let it sit. And never start it, never drive it. And buddy, 40 years from now, you've got a classic car. Until somebody says, does it run? Well, it must. I've never started it. In the meantime, the seals have rotted from non-use and no maintenance. You've got a real pretty piece of junk. Amen? Come on now. We do the same thing, don't we? We get up every day and do a little maintenance. Listen, you could be Miss America, but if you don't do a little maintenance, after a while, nobody's going to want to be around you. Amen right there. Okay, you got me? So it's required. Our bodies require maintenance. Our homes require maintenance. Hey, Ecclesiastes 10:18. Here, listen, here's what Ecclesiastes 10:18 says. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. So even the Bible, even God declared, without maintenance, it's just not going to last forever. Because we're not made to last forever. And by the way, you can maintain your own bodies to the point of extremism and still die. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. Amen? So we have this, we need to affirm and uphold this thing of living by faith. Because it's a good way to live. It's a good work to maintain. And then, let me just give you this before I give you the last thought. He says in this verse, be careful. You know when you tell somebody to be careful, you know what you're trying to do? To let them know that there's something they need to watch out for. Be careful of that intersection. Be careful of that hole in the yard. Be careful of what you eat or drink. I mean, something needs attention. And the Bible said we're to be careful. Pay attention. Because we need, you know what the opposite of careful is? Careless. And many people treat themselves and their things carelessly. And then they wonder why it's not as nice as so-and-so next door who spends time maintaining and taking care of. And then, of course, it's a reminder to maintain. Because if you don't maintain it, 1 Timothy 4:14 says it causes neglect. And that's, you ever ride by someone's home and you see that it's run down and you say, boy, they really neglected. Listen, if you rode by my house, my yard looks so bad. I mean, tomorrow and Tuesday, I'm going to be busy. Unless God sends me somewhere, I'm going to be in my yard trying to maintain it because it's very neglected. Looks bad. You neglect something and it doesn't get prettier. Amen? And then let me give you the last thought here and I'll be through. So this idea of affirming the right life, the Christian life, is because it's a good life to live. It's a good work to maintain. Then last, let me give you this. It's a good witness to exhibit. Look what it says in our text verse and I'll be through. These things are good and profitable. Does it say to you, who is it good and profitable to? Unto men. That's beyond you. Oh, it's good and profitable to you. Trust me. You live for God and do right and God will bless you. It's profitable. But always remember, anybody who's in business and they make a profit, sure, that means that they can live a little better. But the majority of that profit, what happens to it? It goes back into the business so that the business will grow and create jobs and create more profit. So that owner can, in fact, then have more. But if they make a profit and take it all and say, man, I just made $100,000 this month, I'm going to blow every penny of it. Then the business will go down because of neglect. You don't put money, it costs money to make money, right? What they say. I don't have any, so I don't know, but that's what they say. So it's a good witness. These are good and profitable unto men. There are two kinds of maintenance, and I'm closing. One is called preventative maintenance. Remember the old STP commercial? Where he holds up the oil filter and says, you can pay me now, you can pay me later. You can get a $20 oil change or a $3,000 new engine, depending on how you want to maintain it. Right? Now, if you've got $3,000 to blow every year or so, hey, knock yourself out. Don't worry about changing the... You know, now these cars, now you can drive them 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 miles. I still do it every 3,000. I'm scared to death. If I know how to do it myself, I'd probably do it every weekend. Of course, then that would cost a lot of money, too. I'm just saying, I want to make sure the thing lasts. So there's preventative maintenance. That means taking care of problems before they occur. Or there's what's called corrective maintenance, and that's taking care of the problem after it happens. So the idea, now you say, well, preacher, okay, that's good for things, but doesn't that fit us too? If you don't want the cares of this life and the problems of this life overcome you, then you better practice some preventative maintenance. You better take care of the problem before it comes. You better get in that Bible and get on your knees and be faithful to the house of God and live for Jesus. Because if you don't, the devil's going to find something inside there that he can waste. The best motor you can buy, if you don't put oil in it, it's no good. But I'll tell you something else. You can do all of that, and if you don't take care of those seals, you can put $1,000 a quart oil in that engine. But if you don't make sure those seals are always good, then you just got a leaky piece of junk. It costs a lot of money. Folks, listen, if you're not... Now, the Bible said we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Okay. But in your everyday walk with God, you know, if you carry that King James Bible and you give out those tracts and you invite people to be a witness, that's wonderful. If you don't maintain yourself physically and spiritually, then you're going to start leaking somewhere. And I'm telling you, the devil will find it. When he finds it, he will exploit it until you're destroyed. Many of God's people are no longer in this church, and others are out. They're riding by, not paying a bit of attention. You know why? Because they didn't do any preventative maintenance. And now they've gotten so bad, they can't afford, they think, to do corrective maintenance. Well, you know, preacher, I've done so much, I don't think God can forgive. Well, of course He can. Of course He can. Don't let the devil tell you that lie. Of course He can. He can fix anything. But if you're not going to let Him, Brother Stephen, had a choice. Now, what you said in Sunday school, got a choice. If you choose not to be fixed, then you're not going to get fixed. And the longer you go, the worse the problem is going to become. So if you've got a problem, today's the day to fix it. Get it right. If you're lost, get saved. If you're saved and out of the will of God, get right. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. The only one you've got to answer to in the judgment is God. And He's the one that matters. So preventative maintenance will repeat your good works. Corrective maintenance, some made to get the altar today because you need to repair bad ones. Amen? Whatever it is. Paul said to Titus, we've got to affirm constantly. Well, preacher, I've heard a message like this before. You know, it's old news. Better pay attention. It's given to remind us. Maybe old news, but I'll tell you one thing. It's not fake news. It's the real McCoy. Amen? Nothing fake about the Bible. Nothing fake about the message of the Word of God. So you better pay heed while you can. Father, we love You today. What a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord.